This is, as I said, it's already a different story. That the house of the Nazi.
Take your time.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Very kind.
Proclaimed a fast. Vlayosa Mitra, and rain didn't fall. So Nochis Kame Ilfa. So Ilfa arose, literally not rose, but he went down. Excuse me.
Don't worry about it.
I'm in the my eyes ran down.
You're
absolutely right. Okay. Right. Rain didn't fall. Right.
Below
Odian who the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish.
So he didn't notify Rabbi Yochanan.
Right. They didn't notify Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you know, that it was a fast day. But Safra, when the following morning came, Odian, so they informed him. Look, we didn't accept this fast the previous evening. If you remember, we learned earlier that if you want to accept the fast upon yourself, a voluntary fast, so you do it in mincha time,
right?
Shema Kaleinu, particularly, that's the place where you accept upon yourself the fast. All right. So Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Nachman, and he says, look, we didn't accept it upon ourselves from, you know, the previous evening. So, of course, what is the implication?
Well, he declared a fast.
The implication would be, then, that according to Reish Lakish, look, we didn't accept it, therefore we don't have to fast, right? Because we didn't know that today was going to be a fast day. And the implication is that if we've already, let's say, had something to eat, so in that case,
we can't fast,
right? So Amalei, so he said unto him, Anan Basrehu Gardin in the Venetia. No, he says, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, he said, no. We are literally dragged along. In other words, we have to follow whatever the Beg Nasir proclaims. If they proclaim a fast, then we have to observe it, even if we did not say, you know, that we're going to fast. Okay.
But what if they already ate?
They already eaten, so they'd have to fast the rest of the day. Or they would have a makeup. But they hadn't eaten yet because obviously there was no morning davening yet.
Oh, because there was davening.
But
the morning
say, right, it was the morning.
Yeah, I think
they probably davened earlier.
Right, yeah.
So it meant then that they were going to have to fast the whole day. Okay, this is what it boils down to.
Actually, it really does make sense because it sounds as if there was a decision was made and then found in the next time everyone would need with these shots.
Yeah, well, obviously the fast did not apply to the evening. It applied, you know, the following day.
I was
aware of it until
they were
stopping.
Okay. The Venusia Gozatanisa. So again, another fast was proclaimed by the, you know, the household of the Nasi Vilayosa Mitra, and rain didn't come. Tana Lahu Oshaya Zira the Min Chavraya. So Oshaya, the little one from Chavraya, he gave the following interpretation. He says, you want to know why there's no rain? There's a pasuk that says, he says, the Pasuk says that if from the eyes of the community a sin was done in ignorance, right? In other words, it was not, the sin was not obvious, to the congregation. They did it by mistake. But we'll come back to this in a second. So anyway, he says, Marshal Akala, he says, I can compare this to the story of a bride, Shehiba Vesaviho, who was still in her father's house. Of course, you'll ask me, how is a bride still in her father's house? The answer is, because in those days, if you remember, there was a difference between erisin, which meant, that she was engaged, and at this point she became an Eish HaSish, but that she was not actually living with her husband until they had the suin. Okay? Of course, we do what, under the chuppah, we do both at the same time, because we don't follow that anymore, that there would be 6 months or 12 months wait in between. Okay? But
this obviously was...
Yeah, she was still in her father's house. So, calls Manshin, your face, as long as her eyes are beautiful, ain't called gufa tzricha b'dika. Then the rest of her doesn't need any searching. People, in other words, are attracted to her eyes. If they see that her eyes are beautiful, then they're willing to overlook any other faults that she might possibly have, right? But einecha tfutos, what if her eyes are, let's say, bleary or something like that, right? Then kol gufa tzricha b'dika. Then in that case, people already started to look to see if she's healthy in other parts of the body too, whether she's sick or something like that.
The first thing they look at would be eyes.
Right. And of course, I don't have to tell you, very often the doctors, to this very day, one of the things that he usually does, he looks into your eyes to see, whether it's a sign of good health or not, okay? So, what is he stressing over here? He's stressing the fact that the Eineho Edo, right? The eyes of the congregation. Now, of course, who are the eyes of the congregation? The answer is the leaders of the congregation, because they're the ones who are supposed to be looking out for the welfare of the known. And if they are not behaving, that they've acted in such a way that there is a fault in their own behavior, or whatever it may be, then this is what he's saying, in a very roundabout way, but this is the implication, and anybody who can understand them understands it, right? So, also Avde, so the servant of the Beis Nasir came, Veromalei Suda B'Tzavore, and they stuck a scarf around his neck, in other words, Vikomitsarile, and they started him to choke him. So, Omulahen, so the people in his town said to them, hey, Shafke, leave him alone. Dehonami Mitsarile, because he bugs us too. Not just he bugs the base of the sea, the base Hanasi, right, but he also bugs us. So, just let him go. That's all there is to do. So, Kevin the Chazinun, the Chol Milei Lishem Shemayim. But why does he bug us? Because we see that whatever he says to us is actually Lishem Shemayim. He's doing it for the sake of heaven. In other words, if he gives us a bawling out or something like that, it's because Taka, we're doing something wrong, and he wants us to do the right thing. So, if he says something about the base Nasi, then in that case probably the Beis HaNasi also deserves that, and he should not be punished for it.
Very nice rush that he did, actually.
Right.
Very nice.
Yeah.
He did it.
Alright, we'll go down to the bottom over here, and then we'll call it a night. Okay? Alright, again, now here we're talking about Rebbe. Okay, of course that's the real Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, okay? The grandfather, the one that we had before. Anyway, Gozatani, so he proclaimed the fast for Yosemitra, right? And reigned in life. So, Nochis Kamei Ilfo, so Ilfor went down, as we said, in other words, he went down to Davin for the Omid, right? In the presence of Rebbe, the Amile, and there are those who say it wasn't Ilfor, but it was Rabbi Ilfi, Okay. Apparently there are two people who had almost the same name.
Ilfi.
So, right. So this is Rabbi Ilfi.
Yes.
And...
I
bound by that.
You go by that.
So, Omar, he said, Mashiva Ruach. Benosha Zikor, maybe Benosha Zikor. And immediately a strong wind began blowing. Morid Agesham, the Yosemitra, and rain came. So, Omale, so Rabbi said to him, my Ubdok. So, tell me, what do you do? So, Omale, in other words, what do you do that you should have such merit, you know, that as soon as you say, Mashemurah, Morid Agesham, immediately begins raining. So, Omale said to him, says Dayarna the Kusta the Chikar. Says I live in a very economically oppressed village. Okay. In other words, where I live, it's
in the poverty
place. That's very very poor, right? The Lesbe Chamra. We don't have any wine. The Kiddush of Abdalto. You know, the Kiddush of Abdalto. So Tarachni says, I work very hard, the Asina Khamar the Kiddush Abdalta, and I bring wine for Kiddush Nadola, so that I can enable them to fulfill their obligation of making Kiddush Nadola. So this is his chus, okay? Now it's a story about Rav. Rav Ikla Lahu Aswa. So Rav happened to come to a certain place, right? And Gozatani, so he proclaimed the fast, lay also mitra, and rain didn't come. Nochi is kameish nichat tzibura, and the shlich tzibur, you know, the chazan got up, or as I say, went down before him, and Omar, and he said, Mashi beruach, v'noshav zika, and the wind blew. Omar merit hageshem, right? The also mitra, and rain came.
Right.
So Omar lay, mayuvdo, so he said to him, tell me, what do you do? So Omar lay, he said to him, Mikri Dardike Ano, he says, I happen to be a school teacher. Makrino Alevne Aniye Givne Asiri. And I teach Torah to the children of the poor, even as I do to the children of the rich. In other words, I make no distinction between those who are poor and those who are rich. I give them Torah instruction. The Choldalay Efshale. And whoever doesn't have the wherewithal, lo shakil na minei midei, and I don't take anything from him, right? In other words, I don't accept any, we would say, schalif, right?
Mm-hmm.
No payment for my teaching. The isli peredachavar, also he says, I have a little pond which has fish in it. The chol man, the posha, and whoever is a student, you know, is not doing the right thing, says, "Ishachdino le minayu," then I literally I bribe him, you know, from this fish pond. In other words, what do? I take out a little fish from the fish pond, right? Misadvino le, and we fix it up for him. In other words, you know, take out the kishkas and so on and so forth, right? And give it to him. Mefaishino le, and you know, we speak. Pacifying words to him, okay? Ade osi, until he comes, vikori. And, you know, he becomes interested again in his studies and he learns. So, in other words, he makes every effort in order to interest the students into learning. Rav Nachman goes a Tanya. So now Rav Nachman, right, proclaimed the fast. Right, and he prayed, and the rain didn't fall. So Omar, so he said, "Shakluhu leNachman havutim in gudaliar." He says, "You take this Nachman, meaning himself, take me and throw me down from the wall to the ground." In other words, with all my piety, with all my learning, and everything else, is helfnish. So what good am I? What good? I might just as well be thrown down from the wall. Kolaj date, and as a result, you know, he felt very despondent. The Yosef Mitran, then rain came, as we had in the previous story, right? That when he became despondent, when he felt heartbroken, so then rain came. Rabba goes upon Isa. Rabba this time is the one who proclaimed the fast. Boy Rachmi, he prayed for the Yosef Mitran. Okay. Omulay, so they said to him, oh, Rav Yehuda, look, Rav Yehuda, Kehava goes upon Isa, when he proclaimed the fast, Yosef Mitran, rain came. So Amalahu, so he said to them, my Avid, what shall I do? Imishum tenuye anan adifini minayu. If you want to imply that I'm not as learned as Rabbi Yehuda was, as a matter of fact, we learn more. We know more, we study more today than what they studied in those days. The Mishnei the Rabbi Yehuda, because in the years, or at the time, in other words, of Rabbi Yehuda, so called to Nuye bin Zikin, whatever they learned was primarily in the Zikin. In other words, about the Kama, about the Basra, about the Tziya, you know, that's what they learned. Sanhedrin, you know, Hakis, this is what they learned. But they didn't learn, you know, with the same emphasis, let's say, upon all parts of the Shisha Siddur. You know, the six orders of the Mishnah. We said, Komas Nisin Mishita Siddur. We learned, first of all six of the Sidre Mishnah, right? Bechihava Mata Rav Yehuda Be'Uktzin. Not only that, but when Rav Yehuda came to Uktzin, he got as far only as Isho Shekaveshes Yorok Bekadeva. Uktzin is a very difficult business. It's a part of Taharas, okay? In other words, what is clean, what is unclean, and the fact that food sometimes can render cleanliness, you know, can be, it will not, in other words, make coming, and other times it will transmit tumor. Okay? So he says, when we came to this Mishnah in Muktzin, Ishish Kves Yorak, they were a woman who was, you know, like she's preserving vegetables in a pot, the Yarmulah, and there were those who say, no, it was a different Mishnah, it was Zaysen. Olives, Shekvoshim, Batarpehim, that were literally stewed with their, or, you know, were placed in the pot with liquid with their stems. So, Tahoran, they are clean. In other words, they will not transmit tumor. Right? So, that's as far as they got. Whereas, where did we get? We got right through the entire Shisha Sibir Mishnah, everything, agency, right? We've learned. And they didn't even get that far yet. So you can't say that our learning is less than theirs. If anything, our learning is greater than theirs. Omar, and he said, Havai is the Rav of Shmuel, Kochazin and Hocha. What we need over here really is the inspiration, the analysis of Rav and Shmuel, that, you know, they would take a text and be able to go through and, you know, to analyze it from A to Z. So, right? This is what we see. All right. They, in other words, Rav and Shmuel, right? So, you know, they were busy discussing all kinds of things, but again, did they go into every single item, you know, that we do today? We are learning Uktzin, the same Uktzin that they barely were able to cover in previous generations. We have it in 13, now Masifta can either mean in 13 schools that we have that it's being discussed, or it can mean 13 different explanations that we could give. It's probably a better way to understand it, right? The Yilu Rav Yehuda, and yet, Rav Yehuda, ki have a shol of chad masonim, all they had to do was to take off one shoe, also mitra, and rain came, ba'anan kod sabchanin, and we can shai kula yomo all day long, v'leko da ashkach bon, and nobody pays any attention. So, he says, Imishum Ugda, right? Maybe it has to do with, you know, my deeds or something like that. if there is someone, you know, who has seen something that I did that was wrong, lemo, let him say. In other words, don't put the blame upon me. If there is, I'm willing to accept chastisement, right? But maybe it's not my fault. Avol maya asu gedoli ador, what can the leaders of the generation do? Shein doron domeyot, if their generation is not worthy enough, you see. Literally, it's not, you know, it doesn't appear good in the eyes of the Beit HaShemesh. So, don't blame the leaders if the, you know, the community itself is at fault. So you have to begin to, you know, you have to analyze this and see. But don't accuse me of being less learned and don't accuse me of being less pious. I do these things. But the generation of Rav Yehuda was a pious generation. And for their sake, rain came, and our generation apparently is not that way.
Oh, was it?
Right. All right, I think we'll stop at this particular point.
You were now on the...
Yeah.
Chok Dalet.
Right.
Amit Beis.
You were on the Chok Dalet Amit Beis. We'll continue from where we left off over here, which is what, approximately about the 10th line or so, 9th, 10th line, I think.
Covered the whole block tonight.
Yes, we
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
November 30th, 1994.
Yeah.
So we're on Chok Dalet,
yeah.
Amit Beis.
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is December 7, 1994.
Correct. So we're still in the business in my mouth, you know, about Rabbah, who was complaining, you know, about the fact that when he proclaimed the tidings, the rain didn't come. Whereas back in the generation of Rav Yehuda, so all that he had to do was to take off one shoe, and already that started into rain. And so he said, well, maybe my generation is not as worthy as the generation back in those days, right? So now they want to find out something about what was so outstanding about that generation.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Rav Yehuda caused a hand to Beit Chay. Rav Yehuda saw two people, and what were they doing? They were fooling around, throwing pieces of bread at each other. I hate to say it, I've seen it over here in Kadima. Some of my Omar, so he said, Shma minor. From this I can derive the fact that Ikasovabalma, in other words, there's plenty in the world, in other words, there's so much to eat that people can afford to take bread and to throw it around.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, he was very much incensed at it because of the fact that, after all, we should appreciate the food that we have. And, you know, we consider bread as being one of the mainstays of life, you know, as you know, as David HaMelech said, you know, the lechem yisrael, the bar enosh yisrael, you know, that the bread is like a support staff of life, if you will. You know, actually what it says is that it, like, it strengthens the heart of a human being. So, you know, this is why we call bread, you know, the staff of life. Although actually the expression matay lechem is found in a different context. It's found in the Teuchach.
And to comparatively modern,
yeah,
times, bread was what they ate. I mean,
absolutely.
They didn't have much vegetables.
Yeah.
They,
right.
Bread.
I mean, people,
yeah,
could survive on bread with, let's say, some vegetables or something, you know.
People survive on bread,
right,
and water.
They,
yeah,
did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it was incensed at something like this and it was being treated, you know, so cavalierly by them. So, what happened? So Yahivene, so he gave him a dirty look, and Havakafnam, and hunger came. In other words, as a result of the fact that you know, he wanted to punish them, you know, for their treating the food, you know, in so cavalier fashion. So as a result, the punishment was that there was famine. So Omulei Rabbanu Lav Kano Bereid Rab Nechunya Shomei. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Kano, who was the son of Rab Nechunya, who was the attendant, if you wish, Shomei, it's like Shomei actually, okay? Yeah, so he was, so they said, obviously there's something that's missing over here, and Shomei Demar Dishachiach, right, yes. Show me the should be Dimar, right? In other words, the attendant or the servant of you know, of our rabbi, the Shachiach Kameh, who was, you know, always was in attendance upon him, right? He says, Neyosei de Lifuk Bekvischo, the Samach Leshuko. Okay? He says, look, let's go and let's go out through the door which is near the shuk, which is near the marketplace. So Asiye and Nofak the Shukha. And you know, so they went out. Taka did like he said, and then they went. So Chozer Kedufyo, and he saw there was a crowd over there. So Omar Lahu my high, so he said to them, was Gaiton over here? So Omulay, so they said, Akuspo de Tamre Kaime, they call Mizdabe. It says, you know, a handful or a fistful, if you wish, of dates, right, are being sold right now. The people are buying, you know, and of course it's understood, you know, that they were buying just a small quantity and it was costing them a lot of money. Omar, so he said, Shmami, no, I understand, he says, that Kaftum B'yamut, that obviously there must be famine in the world. So Omalei L'Shamei, so at that point he said to his attendant, you know, since he realized that now that there was famine in the world as a result of what had happened previously, so he said to his attendant, he said, Shalefli Masoni, says, take off one of my shoes. So Sholaflei Chad Mason. So he took off one of his shoes. The Yosemitra, and rain started coming. So Kimoto Lemishla Fachrinans, and then when the Shamas wanted to go and take off the other shoe, so also the Yohu, so the prophet Elijah came, the Omale, and he sent him to him. As you know, he said to Rav Yehuda, right? He said, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yisholach Tachrino, if you were to take off the other shoe, then Machrivo Le'amah, I'll destroy the world. In other words, don't shepherd, you know, more than you have to, because I've already performed a miracle.
What more do you have to
do? Don't shepherd me. Don't bug me more than you have to, because if so, you know, it's going to bring so much rain that it will destroy the world. Beinu Shalom has, you know, he set aside the forces of nature in order to conduct the world, so to speak, okay? Once in a while, the Beinu Shalom will perform the nest, but don't expect, you know, that the Beinu Shalom is going to destroy the workings, the normal workings of the world, any time that, you know, you feel like it or something like that. Omarav Mori Barodras Shmuel, so now another vice. Rav Mori, who was the son of Shmuel's daughter, he said, Ana Habaka Imna.
Excuse me, is there any reason why it's the daughter? I mean, is this usually how we get the genealogy?
No. I'll tell you what it is. Someplace else in the Talmud, I mean, they mention the fact that the father
was a Sagoi who had converted or something like that, or maybe he had raped the daughter of Shmuel or something. At any rate, they felt, you know, that the father was not a worthwhile person.
Okay.
So that therefore, under those circumstances, they felt that, you know, the Yehudi should go through the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so he says, Ana Habaka Imno Agudadin Har Pop. I was standing, he says, at the bank of the river Papa, and Chazai, and I saw, he says, the Malochi, I saw angels, the Idnu the Malochi, that they looked like sailors. Notice, I mean, the Malach with an Aleph is an angel, the Malach with a without, right, with a Chess at the end, right, is a sailor.
Mm.
Right?
That's interesting.
I saw sailors. The Komaise Cholo, I saw that they were bringing sand, Umalun Holiyave, and they were filling up the boats, you know, the like cargo boats, okay? They're filling up these cargo boats, you know, with sand. The Hava Kimcho Desmida, and guess what? The sand turned into the finest flour, Kimcho Desmida.
Hmm.
So Osikule Amolim Hisbin, and then, you know, everybody came in order to buy this. Amaluhu. So he said unto them, that is, you know, this Rabbi Mori said to the people over there, he says, Meholos Hisbon. He says, you should not buy from this. Why? The Matzin Yisimhu. Because it is something which has been wrought by a miracle. And, you know, therefore, it has acquired a certain sanctity, and it's not meant for us. It's not right for us to try to take advantage of the miracles which the Rebbe Shalom performed for us. Ramocha Asken Ave Dechite de Parzina. So the following day, there came boats which carried wheat from Parzina. Okay? Or it's an alternate reading if you take a look on the margin on the left over there. It says that the Oruch, which was the oldest dictionary of the Talmud, dates back to about the 8th century or something like that, 8th, 9th century. So he had a different reading over there. He said not Parzina, but he said Arzina, meaning oris, meaning rice. In other words, that they brought, you know, flour which had been made from rice, okay? Mm-hmm. So the point is, of course, that the following day, the famine was broken, and it was broken in a natural way, so that it was not necessary, you know, to rely upon the miracle, for the food. And, you know, the miracles are miracles, but don't take advantage of the miracles. This is what they're trying to do.
So in the dream was the sand turning into flour, and then in real life the cargo boats came with...
Yeah, but they didn't come to the following day.
No, it doesn't
because
say it was
of
a
his
dream.
Dream.
But the
it
dream was the sand
doesn't
turning...
doesn't say a dream. He says I was standing at the...
Right,
the
but this is the dream was before.
The dream was before.
Yeah.
So when he saw these sailors...
The previous story had, you know, that he saw Eliyahu, okay?
Well, Eliyahu isn't necessarily a dream, is it?
Huh?
Eliyahu often appears. Was Eliyahu in the dream?
Well, on the previous page...
Well, we had a story before about Eliyahu.
Oh.
Saw in the dream, right.
Okay, but so Rav Mari actually saw angels that look like sailors?
Well, yeah.
Eliyahu came to warn him not to take off the other shoe.
That was still about Rav Yehuda.
Okay.
But this is a different story.
Yeah.
Say, you know, he says, you know, that I actually saw the miracle taking place before my own eyes.
He saw the sand turn to flour.
That is right. That, you know, these had to be angels, he felt. How did he know that they were angels? and not just sailors.
Because he changed the sand into the
oil. Exactly, because the sand that they were carrying. So therefore he immediately assumed that this had to be, they had to be sailors, okay? I mean that they had to be angels. So this is the reason why, okay?
Yeah, it was a dream, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in either place, there's no mention of the dream.
No, well, the
not over here. Yeah, here it's not. No. Okay. Rova Ikla Hagronio. Rova happened to come to a town by the name of Hagronio. And Gozotan Esau. And he proclaimed the fast because, you know, there had been no rain. The Loa Sumitra. But rain did not fall, even after, you know, he proclaimed the fast. So Amalahu, so he said to them, that is, you know, to the people, he says, Bitu kuli albu bitani saicho lemocha. All right? Which means, spend the night, everybody should spend the night still fasting until the following day. All right? Or if you wish, bitani saicho, he says, keep on fasting. Perhaps it's better to put in the period over here. I mean, there are no periods.
Right.
The question is sometimes, which way do you understand?
No, but absolutely. All right.
But Lemochar, yeah, I would say Betani Saichel, probably period. And then he says, Lemochar Omalahu, the following day he said to them, the Iko the Chosa Chilma, is there anybody who has had a dream? Okay? Lemo, let him say it. Let him tell us. So Amalahu Rabbi Elazar Mehagronia. So Rabbi Elazar Mehagronia said to him, "Lididi ikriyun becholmi." In my dream, I heard them calling out unto me, "Shalom tov." In other words, you know, like good peace, literally, right? Or we would say Shalom Rav, right? Great peace. The Rav tov. To a good rabbi, to a good teacher, if you wish, right? May ribon tov, coming from a good master. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is sending a message in your dream, saying, you know, hail to you, shalom tov, right? Unto you, O Rav Tov, right? Good rabbi, right? From the good Lord. From the good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you notice that those three words, Shalom, Larav, and Marabin, spell out Shalom again? Well, isn't that great?
Isn't that terrific?
Well, no, I'm saying that this is Shalom Tov, Larav Tov, Maribin Tov.
And if you take
the Shin from Shalom, and the Lamud from Larav, and the Mem from Maribon, it comes to Shalom again.
Yeah.
Hey, it must be a good dream.
Wow, look at that.
All right, go ahead.
Kabbalism.
Well, it's a dream, it's a dream.
It's probably a call here. Okay. Maribon Tov, right?
Yeah.
From this good Lord, right? Dimetuve Maitavliyame, who does good things for his people, right? So Omar, so when he heard this, he said, Shmamina, from this I understand now that Ace Rotzain be. It is a time that when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is willing to hearken to our prayers, right? Niboy Rachme, let's pray. They prayed for Yossi Mitra and rain came. Okay. Another Maisa. Ahu Gavro the Chayiv Dagdo the Vedino the Rob. There was a certain man who was judged liable that he should be giving a good whipping. By the Beis Din of Rav. In other words, Rav's Beis Din can, you know, condemn him that he should get a good caning, so to speak. Okay? Yeah.
Malchus,
exactly. Because obviously he had done something bad. What was the something bad? Mishum de Boel Kusis. Because of the fact that, you know, he slept with a Goya. Okay? So, Dagde Rava. Kutsis. Well, they're not saying a goya. What they're saying is a kutsis. You remember we learned that the kutsim, you know, there are certain Jews who are the what they call the Shomronim and something like that, you know, the Samaritans, right? So, but the reason why we've learned from the Gemara in Kedushin is because they were taken by the Syrians from places like Kutso and other places of the furthest ends of the Syrian, of the Assyrian Empire, and you know, schlepped and settled in Israel after the most of the inhabitants of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, you know, were scattered to Otziplatzi, you know, in the Assyrian Empire, the 10 tribes, okay? So they were called Kusim, and as we learned, you know, they adopted some Jewish practices, but at the same time, they still had idolatrous practices. So very often we'll find that the word kutsis is not to be taken literally as kutbingen. I don't know if that's what he translates over there.
Kutbite.
No, usually you find kutbingen. But you have to understand, you know, the Talmud text was very often censored by Christian censors, okay? So in order not to offend it, so sometimes they would change the word, let's say, you know, goy or something like that, they would make kusi, okay? All right. But obviously, the man, right, that, you know, he slept with a non-Jewish woman, okay? And, you know, he obviously had done this, you know, where it became a scandal in town.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the Beis Din condemned him, right? Nagde Rabba. So Rabba, you know, gave him Malkus. It doesn't mean that actually he administered it himself, but it means, you know, that he had him
flogged.
Flogged, yes.
You mentioned changes. Did he change the medieval order?
Yes. Well, you say medieval, not necessarily medieval. It was really more in the Renaissance period and in the later periods, right? Yeah, the time already between, let's say, 1400 and 1600 or 1700. Well, what has survived are occasionally some old manuscripts of the Talmud, particularly the most famous one would be the Minchen, Ksav Yad Minchen, in other words, the one that was kept in the Munich in the Royal Library over there, okay? And this was a manuscript, and there are readings that are a little bit different than there from the readings that we have in our text, okay? But also, we find different readings at times in other words. As for example, you'll find over here occasionally in the margin, okay? I had one just a moment ago about where he quotes the Oruch, which, as I told you, this goes back. This is the earliest dictionary of the Talmud that was written. It was written, I would say, about, I don't know, 800-900, something like that. Okay?
Sorry, what's
the Aruch.
The Aruch.
Okay? Not the Shulchan Aruch, but
no,
the Aruch. Okay? And it was a dictionary of the Talmud. So, you know, naturally, he not only gives you the word and the meaning that he understood it, but also he'll give you the quotation, you know, wherein the word is to be found. This is why we have over here on the side over there that he read it not as, you know, a parzino, but he read it as arzino, okay? In other words, as rice, okay?
Well, in other words, they might change the body of the text, but don't stay intact.
Yeah, correct. When they printed it with the notes so that you could judge a little bit, okay? No, as far as the Goyim is concerned,
And because of the fact that the goyish censors would have burnt it, or they would not have permitted it to be printed, so therefore they would deliberately make certain changes in the text in order to pass by the censorship. Okay?
Yeah, they could read the text.
Yeah, I mean, you had, you know, some of the censors, even though they were goyim. But, you know, they knew enough Hebrew in order to get by. At other times, of course, you know, they didn't really have the education. Obviously, to understand the Blat Gemara, they didn't have. But, you know, to read words or something like that, you know, they had the possibility.
They got translated for
Shabbat. Yeah, right.
So the commentaries were also by
what? Which commentaries?
Commentaries on the side that
No, they're not revised.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. There are other places. For example, there's a very great collection of the Agadot of the Talmud called the Ein Yaakov. Okay. Problem with the Ein Yaakov is, you know, that there are different readings, but then along came printers who decided that the Ein Yaakov has to be wrong. So they changed the text of the Ein Yaakov in order to conform with the text of the Gemara. Whereas had they left it alone, it would have given us another possibility, you know, to see what it is. So occasionally you'll see that there's a different reading of the Ein Yaakov. In this particular case, yes. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And as I say, from time to time, you can see in the marginal notes, either on the side or down below, and so you know what are suggested other readings or something like that, okay? Or maybe to fill in something that's missing in the text over here. All right, so at any rate, what happened? So Rava ordered him flogged. Umis, and the man died as a result of the flogging. So, Ishtama Milsa Beishvu Malka. So, this deed, what happened over here, was reported to the royal palace. Shvur Malka was the king, okay? King Shapur, or something like that, was his Persian name, okay? And he was the king of Persia, okay? And of course, Babylonia, as I told you, you know, various times, and it was under the rule of Persia at this time, okay? So the king heard about this. Boilitzur the Rovan, he wanted to punish Rova because, you know, he dared to flog a man, and the man died under the flogging because he slept with the goyim, okay? So Omole Ifra Hormiz, so Ifra Hormiz, Imei the Shvumalka, who was the mother of Shvumalka, said unto Livrah, to her son, he says, Lo lehvi lo chesek devorim b'hadi Yehudai. He says, don't shepherd, don't bother with these Jews. The cholman de b'ayim imarayhu, because whatever they ask for, whatever they pray for from their master, Yahiv lehu, gives it to them. So Amaloa, so he said to her, Mighty, such as what? So she says, Bayan Rachbim Yossi Mitra. She says, when they beg for rain, when they pray for rain, so rain comes. So Amar lo, so he said to her, well, he says to her, Hahu Mishum de Zimna de Mitra. He says, you know why it rains for them? It rains because it's the time when rain should be falling. But go ahead, let them ask for rain now when it is the summer season, and let rain come. Of course, by us it could rain in the summer, but remember that you know, Near Eastern countries, usually this is a dry season of the year. I mean, all you have to do is to go to Eretz Israel and see that there's no rain in the summertime. You wake up in Yerushalayim and you see clouds in the morning, and then by the time, let's say it's 10 o'clock in the morning, the clouds are all gone, no rain. At night it gets cloudy again, and so on. It's the way it is, you know, it's a phenomenon of nature, but there is no rain. Extremely, extremely rare that there should be a little rain that should fall in the summer. Extremely rare. So he says, all right, look, right now he says it's Kufas Tamis, it's the summertime. Let rain come. In other words, let him bring some rain. So she sent the following message to Rava. You see, she liked Rava very much, and she held him in the high esteem, as you can
this
see.
Is the mother of
the mother, right.
The king.
Right, right. The Ifri's Hormuz, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she said to Rava in the message, she says, Kavein datcho, have kavona. In other words, you know, concentrate with your prayers, right? Uboy rachme, and pray the leise mitra, that rain should come. Uboy rachme v'leyose mitra. So he prayed, and rain didn't come.
Rain did not come.
And rain didn't come. So Omar lefono, so he said unto him, meaning to the Rebbeinu Shalalem, he said, Rebbeinu Shalalem, he says. And he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim. Pasuk says, Elohim, O God, he says, Piosneinu Shomanu, we have heard with our own ears, Avoseinu Sipulanu, our ancestors have told us, Poal Po'alto Bimehem, Bimei Kedem, right? All the marvelous things that you performed for them in days of old. We have these traditions about all the great things you did. But, you know, right now is when we need some help, right? V'yonu b'yeneinu l'royinu. We have not seen with our own eyes that, you know, these miracles have taken place. So, when the Rebbeinu Shalalem heard this, so osa mitra. Rain came. Ad shovach mazvei d'tzipore, but this is a mistake. It should say d'machuza l'diglas. And I'll explain to you why it's a mistake. Okay, so at any rate, rain came so hard, it poured so much, until...